In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You are not free from the law of God. It still applies to you. It's still God's will for your life. It still guides you in godliness and shows you the path you are to walk. Love is the perfect summary of this law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That is God's requirement for your life. Understand, when we are talking about our love, we are talking about the law of God. This is fine, but we have to be aware of the context that we are discussing. This love, our love. We have to learn how to love, for it does not come naturally to us. Selfishness comes naturally to us, looking out for our own interests and maybe for a few others around us, but we must learn how to love, not just family and friends, but even our enemies. We must let love cultivate and grow in us as we continue to study and learn God's law for us. Because as our situation in life changes from childhood to adulthood, from single to married, from no kids to children, to then having adult children, we need to know what God's word says to us, how we are to love them. This love is not optional. You cannot change what love is, and you cannot ignore what God's word says about love, just as the expert cannot change who his neighbor was. Everyone is your neighbor. Therefore, everyone needs your love. But we dare not discuss our love when we are talking about attaining eternal life. The expert wanted to know how he could get to eternal life, heaven, and he falsely thought he could do something to aid it. Who is my neighbor? He confuses law and gospel so that he might have a work, something he could do to get eternal life. So Jesus makes a proper distinction between law and gospel, and he does it in a rather unique way. He changes the question from, who is my neighbor, to who is a neighbor to the man? He shifts the topic from the Jew being the hero of the story and helping his enemy, to his enemy helping him and saving him. So I ask you, who is the enemy that comes to save? Who risks his own life to help those who are helpless? Who binds up the broken, the wounded, and the hurting? Who pays for everything? Who promises to come back? Who shows love and grace and faithfulness and mercy and will not stop until the man is completely healed? It is not the expert, and it is not you or I. Yes, we are to love. Yes, our love is to be perfect like that all of the time, but who of us has achieved this? We even begrudgingly help our spouse and our children at times. So if the point of the story is to teach you to try harder and to love people more, then we're still talking about our love. We're still in the realm of our works, and we cannot inherit eternal life. So the law was added because of transgression, says St. Paul, so that sinful man might realize just how far short he comes of God's glory. It still shows you the way of godliness, but in the process it shows you that you have not loved God with all that you are, and you have not loved your neighbor as you love yourself. You have acted out of obligation and compulsion with a half-hearted will, or simply going through the motions rather than freely and willingly giving yourself to others. The law exposes this. It strips you of all the great things you have done and says they still are not perfect, for your fallen flesh contaminates each one of them. So the law will not stop to pull you up out of that ditch, but it says be perfect. You must do far more than what you are currently doing. The law is cold and heartless. It shows no compassion. It has no mercy, no grace, no second chances to get it right the next time. But it only demands, it only exposes your sinful wounds And so it passes by on the other side. This doesn't mean the law is somehow bad. It is still God's will for us. It is holy. It is good. But we are sinners. And so we cannot fulfill this law, so the curse of the law hangs over our heads. In fact, the faster we dig, the deeper we get. The more we trust our love and our works, the further away from God we get. There is no salvation in the law for sinners. But there is in the gospel. There is salvation in the one who comes down to the ditch among your filth and sewage. So Christ switched that question around. Who is a neighbor to the man? Who saves the helpless? Who shows mercy and compassion to the wounded and the broken? Who clothes the naked? Only our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Good Samaritan. He could have left you dead in your sins. He should have, but he does not. He is compassionate, merciful, and gracious. He gets down into the muck of your sins and dirties his garments so that he might wash you clean. He risks his life. Nay, he gives his life in exchange for yours. He trades places with you, so he enters into your filth so you might be raised up to heaven. He is stripped and crucified so that you might be clothed with his righteousness. His flesh is wounded so healing blood and water might flow over your wounds as an eternal medicine. His body is rendered lifeless so that you might receive a new life. He is buried in the earth so that you might be raised to heaven. That is love, and that is a love that saves. For it is not our love toward God and others that carries us to heaven, but the love of God is the salvation of all people. Your love belongs to the law. That's fine, that's its proper place. But we need to understand that our love cannot gain salvation. It is still God's will for our life, but we dare not trust in it. God's love, however, belongs to the gospel. Your love is never good enough. It's never complete. It's never perfect in this life. For your sinful flesh is still with you. It still sullies all that you do. But God's love is perfect. It is enough. And it is complete. For he declared, "It is finished." His love fulfilled the law for you. His love paid for your sins. Your love cannot save. Either you or someone else. But God's love does save, as it carries you on eagle's wings to the very throne of God and the Lamb, where you live in the bliss of his eternal presence. The Samaritan brought the man to an inn and charged the innkeeper with taking care of that man until he was healed. Then he promised to come back for him. So our Lord Jesus has brought us to the inn of the Holy Church. And though we visibly do not see him, he still has not left us without care. He is with us always. But he charges his ministers, the innkeepers of his church, to take care of us with the things that he has given to us. He pays for everything, for he is still your Savior. So these men preach the healing balm of his blood-bought forgiveness. They feed you the eternal medicine of his body and blood. They work at his command, and they give his eternal gifts, so that when he returns, you may rejoice in him. For it is not the love of a pastor that saves, but only the love of Christ saves. What did the man do to deserve all this? Nothing. What did he do to keep it? Still nothing. That's the difference between law and gospel. When it comes to your salvation, God alone works and you do nothing but receive. For the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, not who works. But those with faith in Christ are justified. When it comes to the law, however, you are working. You are active. You are busy doing things. And that is good and right, for the law of God is how he desires you to live. You still are to be perfect. You still are to live according to God's commands. So go and do likewise, Jesus says. This is how God desires you to love, even as he has loved you. Yet it's no longer a harsh burden to us, this law. But it's a joyful privilege. For it does not matter how good we do in our love. Salvation does not increase or decrease. Your works do not increase or decrease God's love, for that love is sealed in the blood of Calvary. So we must maintain this distinction between law and gospel. We cannot confuse it like the expert. Both law and gospel teach you about love. The law teaches you how you are to love. The gospel teaches you how God loves you. Both are good. Both are necessary to hear every day. And both are from our Lord. Yet only that gospel can save. So may we rightly maintain this distinction between law and gospel and continue to grow in love for our God and for one another, even as we solely receive, hope, and trust in the love that God has for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.